Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Greg, are you there with us?
I'm here. What's up?
All right. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, what was your reaction to game one? I want to get the other side. Obviously, here, disappointment in this market. But on your side, is that what you expected? I mean, I think we talked about it. Well, actually, when we talked to you the first go-around, we were at Bridgestone Arena. That was before the exhibition game. We watched the game against Vegas, and I get it. It was a showcase game. Didn't count. Arizona didn't look exactly inspired, or Vegas looked like the more inspired team. Wasn't impressed, but, you know, it didn't mean anything. So what was your reaction after game one?
Well, I thought that the Coyotes accomplished a lot of things that they wanted to accomplish. They had talked about Nashville's blue line being, you know, they have immense respect for that blue line. It's obviously incredibly skilled, particularly the top three. And for a while, you could certainly make a strong argument. I think you still can that it's one of, it's the best blue line in the NHL, or still one of the best. But having said that, the Coyotes did not think that the Nashville blue line was overly physical, and they thought that afforded them some opportunities to get to middle ice in the offensive zone. And you saw that. They got a lot of shots from the slot in that game. They scored a couple goals from that area, so I thought that was a big key for them in that game. I thought they handled Nashville's cycle pretty well in that game, getting out of their zone better than they had really over the last couple months of the season when they were slumping. And then they got contributions from, you know, their biggest stars pretty much across the board. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was fantastic in that game. They got goal from Clayton Keller. They got big performances from Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel. So a lot of good things to feel good about for the Coyotes after game one.
Yeah, and I don't know, typically you would know this, what Rick Tocchet does with their minutes. But they didn't have to chew up a ton of minutes either. In fact, I think Ekman-Larsson and Goligoski were the only two over 20 minutes, if memory serves me correct. So they didn't have to chew up a lot of minutes in that victory.
Yeah, and that's part of the strength of this blue line, is they have some depth. Really, at least they at least go five deep, where you have faith in the veterans that can play the minutes, so they can distribute them, and that's obviously going to help you both. You know, if you have a grueling game or in a long series, it's going to help. We often see defensemen log heavy minutes in the postseason, and nobody really had to play that much, so that should help the Coyotes as well.
Nick Schmaltz got hit by Reeves in that showcase game against Vegas. He did not play. We were wondering if he was going to play. What does he mean to this Coyotes roster, and do you have any idea what his status is for today?
I don't know his status quite yet. I should know that soon. In terms of what he means, I mean, when he's on his game, he can bring speed through the middle of the ice. That's really one of the biggest reasons they wanted him. It's no secret that the Coyotes are a bit lacking at the center position. They don't have a lot of offense generated through the middle of the ice, which I think is probably the biggest weakness of this club. When he's on his game, Nick can bring that. He still has some work to do down low in his own zone, and that's part of the reason you saw him move to the wing at times this season. But, you know, after a strong start, Nick wasn't playing all that well late in the season. So it would be nice, obviously, for them to get him back and get the guy that they saw earlier in the season. But I'm not sure what's going to happen yet. I would expect to find out fairly soon whether Nick Schmaltz is going to be in or not.
What did you make of the shorthanded play by Michael Grabner, a guy that's no stranger to shorthanded goals? But, you know, we talked about it in post-game and on yesterday's show, kind of just felt like that was the backbreaker for the Predators. They had the man advantage. They were trying to cut the lead down to a one-goal game late in the second period, and an errant pass from Philip Forsberg right to Grabner creates the breakaway. And like I said, he's no stranger to that play.
No, not at all. I've seen that play a million times with Michael Grabner. You know, he had the eye injury, of course, about 20 months ago, and that impacted his game quite a bit. His vision is altered for good. If you look at one of his pupils, it's still dilated more than the other, and it's an adjustment. Your vision is different in one eye versus the other, and it's never going to change. But what I've seen from him over the years, I don't know that I've seen a better penalty killer in my time covering the NHL. His anticipation is remarkable. He plays with a longer stick than most guys, so he can get it in passing lanes and pick off passes. And then when he gets the puck, forget about it. Nobody is catching that guy. He is as fast a skater as I have seen. Maybe Connor McDavid could catch him. He is just ridiculous. So he creates those opportunities all the time. And, you know, with all that he had been through with the eye injury, with the healthy scratches this season as he was trying to adjust to that vision and trying to, you know, I think bring his defensive game up another notch, he didn't even know if he was going to play in this postseason. He had considered not coming back for the return to play format, but he did. He didn't know if he was going to play until the night before game one. And then he comes out and scores, like you said, I thought a huge goal, the backbreaking goal, and a goal that the Coyotes just hadn't been able to get for much of those 2 months when they were slumping, the goal that really pushes the game along.
How do you think, and this is another weird situation, one, it's a five-game series. We haven't seen five-game series in the league since the 80s. And now we're talking about back-to-backs, and I realize there's no travel. But, you know, today and tomorrow you're going to get back-to-back postseason games, and that's typically we don't see that as well. How do you think the Coyotes will play their goalie situation? Well, we know Kemper went in game one. I anticipate, unless you tell me otherwise, that Kemper is going game two. But with Raanta and Kemper, how do you think they'll play? Are they just going to ride Kemper in this series? How do you think the goalie situation will play out?
I don't know yet, and I got a sense early before the series even started from Rick Tocchet that he wanted to use both goalies because coming into this, he felt like it was the start of a new season, and you just don't see coaches ride their number one guy right out of the gate because they're not ready. They're not in a rhythm. You risk either fatiguing them or maybe even injuring them, and I thought that was going to be the way it played out, but Darcy Kemper definitely is playing today, and there's no plan beyond that, so we'll have to see what happens. I've been watching really all the teams with fascination to see how they're managing this. I think Winnipeg and Calgary, coming back on the second end of a back-to-back, are both going to go back to Hellebuck and Talbot, which is interesting to me in its own right. I don't know that goalies can handle this, but I guess maybe we make too much of it. It's a fascinating thing to think about, not only in the short term, but what about the teams that advance if you ride your number one guy in this condensed schedule? What is his rest level and preparedness level when he moves on to the next series?
Yeah, I remember asking you about Connor Garland just bursting on the scene, leading Arizona in goals, going into the pause and coming out of this. Didn't really notice him much on Sunday afternoon. What did you make of Garland's play?
No, I agree with you. I don't think he had much of an impact on the game, and his minutes were down. So I don't know that the coaching staff was all that happy with his play either, but I have seen Connor Garland bounce back from these off performances, which have been pretty rare this season. I've seen him bounce back from them several times. So we'll see. You know, it's his first taste of postseason hockey. Maybe that was an adjustment for him as well. And he was, you know, working his way back from that knee injury as well. So we'll see how he goes as the series progresses.
Craig Morgan is with us, azcoyotesinsider.com, covering the Arizona Coyotes. And when I talked to you on Sunday and I brought up Phil Kessel and would we see good Phil Kessel in this series, two assists in game one, he was very noticeable. How now what is the trick to keeping him consistent for the Arizona Coyotes after a pretty good game one performance?
Well, maybe it's just getting Phil Kessel into the postseason where he has been a remarkable performer over the course of his career. The thing that jumped out at me with Phil in that game is he had his speed back, and he had told us, you know, he dealt with injuries all season, and maybe that's true now, because watching Phil, he definitely looked like a different player on the ice. He was dangerous, and we didn't see that a lot during the season. You know, the two assists obviously helped, but he was shooting the puck as well. I think he tied for the team lead in shots on goal, so those are good signs for Phil Kessel because they clearly need him to perform in this series if they're going to win.
We talked about the shorthanded goal from Grabner earlier, but overall, four special teams goals. I mean, they are not shy on calling penalties, and we've seen that in other games. Did that surprise you a little bit, or do you just equate that it's sloppy hockey, these guys haven't played in 4 months, and that's just the result of it?
Well, that's been the take from the people that I've talked to anyway, that this just is somewhat like preseason hockey, when you will see a lot of penalties called because the players are a little bit sloppy. I don't know. I wonder, too, if the officials are sort of setting a tone here early in these series for, trying to get things under control. I don't know what is playing into that, but I've heard a couple different opinions. It is interesting, though, and it certainly changes the game when it's just a battle of special teams. That's not really something that I hope to see over the course of the playoffs. I hope this doesn't continue.
We don't obviously talk about this team on a daily basis. We don't cover them like you do. So, you know, we've addressed things with the Predators and the inconsistencies on their end, but when you see them play the way they did on Sunday, back that up with a win, how does this team respond to a win like that? Are they pretty good at bouncing back, or is this where their maturity is, they're working on their maturity of being able to answer that call in game two?
You're talking about the Coyotes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question, because it was something central on the minds of the coaching staff. I think they have a lot of veterans who have been through this before, and they're going to be preaching to the younger core, and there's a significant younger core on this team that hasn't been through this before. One of the things I've always heard from coaches is it's harder to sustain success than it is to achieve it, and I think that's a lesson that maybe young players need to learn, and it's particularly harder in the postseason. I'm really interested to see how they respond today. You've seen what's happened around the league with a bunch of teams that took a 1-0 lead, and by and large, every other team has evened up the series, except for, I believe, one series. So, you have a chance to put a stranglehold on a series. You hope that, for the player's sake, at least, you hope within that locker room that they understand that.
So that leads me into a bigger picture question. I had this conversation on the air with somebody yesterday of, you know, I look at Arizona, and I like the makeup of the team. I think that they're not there yet, meaning, you know, winning Stanley Cups and making it that far. Anything can happen in the playoffs, obviously. But I feel like they're maybe a year off, and they're that close, and they remind me somewhat of a Colorado team from a couple years ago. So where do you think they are in a big picture sense, not just this series?
Well, so much depends on their younger core. You know, guys like Clayton Keller, who signed that big contract, Nick Schmaltz, Jacob Chychrun, and of course you still have Oliver anchoring things back there. They all have to take a step forward, at least the young guys do. They have to take a step forward in their development. But in terms of the Coyotes being a cup contender, I just don't see that, because I don't think they have the piece at the top of the lineup, that number one center. They have had horribly bad luck in the draft lotteries. They've never been able to get up into the top picks to land one of those franchise players that a lot of other teams have managed to do simply by being in the number one or number two pick. The Coyotes just haven't been there. So that to me is a glaring weakness in this lineup. I don't know how they manage it. You try, I guess, I think you try to have depth at the center position, which is what they've tried to do, but I still think they're lacking that one piece. I think it's really tough to win a cup without that piece.
It'll be interesting to see how today plays out. Craig, appreciate the visit as always. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Craig Morgan covers the Coyotes, azcoyotesinsider.com. And today, indeed, it will be game two. Will the Predators be able to respond and even this series up at one? And then they'll go right back at it again tomorrow, game three tomorrow, same time, same channel tomorrow. And we'll see how all this plays out. It'll be very interesting to see what our discussion piece is on Thursday's show of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.